So it's an honor to have Apostle Leon Walters with us this morning. God divinely connected us about 22 years ago, and we're grateful for our relationship. He's a spiritual father to Leonard and I, as well as several CI ministers. He gives apostolic oversight to the Heartland Region Network of Churches, which covers a 5-state radius. Apostle Leon's church is in Versailles, Indiana. He is Bishop Bill Hammond's brother-in-law, and he travels with Bishop and serves on the Board of Governors for Christian International. And we appreciate Apostle Leon's dedication and faithfulness to his apostolic call. We are honored to have him preach today as we celebrate our 20-year church anniversary. He's been a blessing to Leonard and I and to our family. He has pastored us and he's walked with us through the good times and the not so good times. And he has been with us since before we planted the church. God divinely connected us for his purpose. And so we appreciate this man of God. We love you, Apostle Leon.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask this congregation if you will stand this morning and give Apostle Leon a warm river welcome as we honor God's messenger, Apostle Leon Walters, all the way from Versailles, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I think they like
you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'll give a hand for the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's all about him. All that we do is all, it's all about him. Amen. You may be seated if you can. And let me just say how honored we are to be here with you in this house. And I don't believe there is a church body that does not have some problem, some way, somehow. Amen. But I guess that's an amen. I don't know. I don't think we'll be problem free until Jesus returns, you know. But then all the churches that I go to every year when I get to come back here, I see more change. I see another level of excellence. Amen. And sometimes you can be in the midst of the place that you are and you can fail to see that things are changing, things are shifting, things are growing, things are getting more stabilized, things are getting more organized. Amen. And it's just a real joy, amen, to be here in the house with you. And on this 20th anniversary, 20 years, wow, that's a long time. And when you start celebrating anniversaries and your birthdays, amen, you begin to appreciate just a little bit more about where you come from. My wife and I just celebrated 54 years for an anniversary in July. Amen. And hallelujah. Everybody keeps growing. The grandkids keep growing. The great-grandkids keep coming. Hallelujah. Amen. We're supposed to be reproducers that reproduce, and so we're doing that. And I encourage you as a church, amen, to pray about reproducing the gifting, anointing, and the favor of God that's upon your life into somebody. Amen. Our late apostle John Watson coined a term. He said, develop your most 10 wanted hit list. Amen. Write out 10 names of people that you know, amen, that you see continually, and just keep hitting on them until you get them saved. Amen. You may not be able to save the whole world, but go after 10. Amen. How many know if each one of us got 10 in here this morning, we wouldn't fit in this building? Amen. And so I just encourage you, amen, that God has called you for such a time as this. He wants to challenge you, amen, with new goals. He wants to challenge you to get into a deeper place with him. I was challenged this year to begin to, just about 3 months ago, to begin to develop another level of prayer. And I feel that I pray consistently all the time. Amen. But God said, no, there's another level of prayer that I want you to come into intimacy with me. Amen. I mean, I pray and beat the floor and beat the air and all those good things. Amen. But then there's the place of intimacy where the Father just wants to spend time with you. Amen. And you know what? I found it challenging just to be quiet before the Lord. Amen. And sometimes God just wants us to come to that place of His presence so that He can dig a little bit deeper on the inside of you. And He wants you to know how much He loves you. Amen. And when God began to speak to me and tell me that He loves me just the way I am, it blows my mind. I said, God, as imperfect as I am, You love me unconditionally. And that just blows my mind. Amen. How much the Father loves us. You know, the devil would like for you to think you're unlovable. Look at somebody and say, I'm lovable. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I was thinking in worship this morning, we've all had seasons of our life, and praise God, as long as we live, we'll keep having seasons. But I went through a season of my life where I was more involved in the marketplace. I had businesses in Denver, Colorado. My background is basically construction, interior design, decorating, and all those kind of things. And, you know, learned in those years of my life to work, you know, 12, 14 or more hours a day, 6, 7 days a week, just, you know, just like life required, you know, everything from you. And then when you get into that grind, there's a, you develop a pattern of life, of a way that you rest and a way you do things. And, you know, we give God some, you know. But as I begin to get a little older, I'm not old. I'll be 73 in November. I'm actually younger. But as I begin to get a little older, you know, I begin to discover, God, I gave so much to life just growing up. Now I want to give more to You. Amen. And I appreciate that song that we were singing this morning. I give myself to You. All that I am, all that I have, all I'll ever be. God, I just want to unload. I just want to give it to You. Amen. How many of you want God to be in control?
Amen.
Amen. So you come to that place in your life when you really want to shift. Amen. To that next level. Well, praise God. We're going to get into a prophetic message this morning, which is a corporate word to this house. And I'm going to, for the sound booth, overcoming impossibilities by seeing Him who is invisible. Say, overcoming impossibility. Amen. Overcoming impossibilities by keeping our eyes on God. Amen. The invisible God. Say, the invisible God. You know, I've never personally got to see God. I've seen angels, and I've had angelic visitation, and I've had experiences of the warmth and the presence and of God, but I've never really seen God. But the Bible says, more blessed are those who believe, having not seen, than those that have seen and believed. Amen? And so you are blessed this morning because you believe God and you believe in God. But you can overcome your impossibilities if you keep your eyes on the Father. Amen. And we don't allow the distractions of life and the distractions of all the things that surround us. But this is our 20th anniversary celebration. 20 years. I was looking back in my file on the weekend, and I've been here for like the last almost 10 years, coming just about every year and watching your celebration and being able to minister to you, you know, for your celebration. And it's been a real honor. Amen. And but this 20th anniversary is about releasing the supernatural. And the thoughts that come to my mind on the supernatural, amen, is I believe that we have to walk with a clear understanding that when you walk with the supernatural, there are no limitations. There are no boundaries around the supernatural. The supernatural is not bound by natural laws. It's not bound by governments or economic. It's not bound by gravity. It's not bound by all the natural laws upon the earth. The supernatural can work any moment, any time, any place. Amen. And so we keep our faith in that place. Amen. That we serve a supernatural God. We're a supernatural people. And God wants to do a supernatural thing in us, through us, for us, and with us. Amen. Say, He's a supernatural God. Amen. So learning to reflect our faith upon Him and upon the supernatural this year, I believe just because this is your anniversary and just because the Father said, say this is a releasing the supernatural year as we go into this 21st year, amen, you know, begin to believe God, amen, for a supernatural release, supernatural in your family, supernatural in your finances, supernatural supernatural, amen, in your spheres of influence, supernatural in miracles, supernatural in revelation, amen, supernatural in your understanding of the heart of the Father and understanding how God works, amen. And so this year, on our 20th anniversary, it begins to outline divine order. Now, last year, in the 19th year, also dealt with order. And it would dealt with more establishing order and setting order. I believe last year we was moving forward. Amen. And so we have moved forward this year as I was watching that video. Amen. How awesome. We have moved forward this year into a supernatural year and a year of divine order. Amen. So we moved forward and we set order in our 19th year. This year is going to begin to implement divine order. Amen. In God's divine order, amen, it begins to release the supernatural. And you cannot judge where God's taking you to based on where you've come from. The past is the past. Look at somebody say, the past is finished. The past is finished. You know, sometimes it's hard for our mind to realize that the past is over. We don't have to live out of the past. We don't have to draw out of the past. We don't have to be bound by the past. We don't have to be named or dictated to by our past. The past is finished. Amen. And this is marking a brand new year of divine order. Order in your personal life, order in your family, order in our church, order in our government. Come on now. Order in our nation. Come on now, we're not going down, church. We're rising. God, we're not going down. We're rising. Come on now. Phenomenal things are happening because the corporate church at large is praying. I've had the honor this year of being in several different nations, from Australia to New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and just got back from Nigeria. And to hear the saints in those nations that are praying in those nations, but guess what? They're praying for America. They're praying for America. Come on, I remember a time when America was praying for the nations. Now the nations are praying for America. Because America sets a standard that all the nations derive from. Amen? And so we not only are we praying at large in America, but the nations of the world are praying for America. Amen? More prayer today for America than any time in the history. Now, don't you believe for a minute that we have failed. Look at somebody and say, we've not failed. Come on, we have to strengthen ourselves in the Holy Spirit and know that God is in supernatural control and supernatural things are going to happen. Amen? I like to say that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and it all belongs to Him and He's not willing to give up one square inch. Come on. He's not willing to give up. You know, I've heard people say this state has got Ichabod written over it and this church has Ichabod and this family has Ichabod and blah, 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 blah. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, God never gives up on you. People give up on people. Nations give up on nations, but God never gives up. He never gives up. Wasn't there a song we sing like that? Never give up, never give up on me. Something like that. Amen. But this is our 20th year of divine order, amen, being released and the supernatural beginning to be implemented. Look at somebody and say, with God, the invisible is made visible. And the impossible is made possible. So with God, all things are possible. Amen. I want to ignite a faith in you here this morning, but hopefully a little conviction at the same time. Amen. That as we grow and progress, we must get closer to God. We must find a closer place in Him. We must find that closer intimacy in that relationship with Him. I was sharing with you how I've been entering into another place of prayer this year. And the first time that I prayed as I was breaking in that first day, God said, I want you to get up at 5:45. I want you in prayer by 6:30 and I want you there till 9. So, okay, God, I'm going to pray from 6:30 to 9. Hallelujah. I prayed every way that I knew how to pray. I began to pray loud. I just really began to bombard heaven. And God says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You've done that before. I'm wanting you to pray a different way. I just want you to come and sit with me. And I want you to talk to me like I'm sitting right in front of you. Said, wow, Wow, God, you want to talk to me that way? You're sovereign, divine, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God, and you want me just to sit and just talk to you? He said, yes, you're my son, and I'm your father, and I just want to talk to you. Amen. See, God's wanting you to come into a place, amen, where we get away from this place of God being mystical and mythical and out in the blue somewhere and realize He fills the atmosphere around you. You know what my response was? God, I just feel like a little speck of dust on the earth. God, yeah, there are so many people praying and there are people dying, people starving, families being destroyed, people leaving this world, people coming into this world, and wars and rumors of wars and so many things throughout the whole world. God, how can you think about just little old me in Versailles, Indiana, praying? And the Lord reminded me, He said, Leon, there is nothing too big for me. And nothing too small. The smallest thing in your life, the most insignificant thing to you, is the most important thing to me. I say, God, you blow my mind. How can you be so big and look at such a small thing? And the Lord began to give me a revelation. He said, you feel like you're just a speck of dust on the earth. But He said, let me tell you that you're a blood cell in my body. And that you have my DNA. And my body would not be the same if your DNA was not there. Look at somebody and say, you make a difference. And when I begin to think of the body of Christ, I begin to think of the DNA, it shifted me from trying to see people making up a body and seeing all of us as part of the blood of the Lamb flowing together as one unit. Amen? And if you're sick, then the body is sick. Come on now. If you're not doing well, then the body's not doing well. Say, I'm important. Amen. And this year of divine order, this year of the supernatural, begin to release your faith. But I do know this, that to implement all that God is speaking to us as a church, amen, there are things that we must change ourselves. You know what? I've actually heard myself preaching this year and saying things like, grow up. Talking to people like, get a life. Get it together. Bag your problems. Throw them away. Grow up. Come on. You're mature in Christ. You've been hearing the word for years and years and years. Take responsibility and make the kingdom shift that you have to make. Look at somebody and say, it's time to shift. I said, oh God, am I getting too hard? God says, well, you haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. Amen. So with God, the invisible is made visible and the impossible is made possible. With Him, all things are possible. Prophetically, let me say this. We're in a new season where God is wanting us to see into areas of His Spirit. In other words, He said, I want you to come away with me and there are things that I want to reveal to you. Things that I want to show you. Now listen to me. There's times in restoration moves of God. If you study church history and you see every time God restores a truth to the church, there seems to be a real thing of extremism where the pendulum goes far to the right and far to the left and, you know, liberal and, you know, it's like the pendulum just swings way out of proportion. But as that restoration move continues, amen, the pendulum comes right back down to the mainstream. Amen. I believe as a church, as a ministry, as a network, Christian International, I believe we're right in the mainstream. I don't believe we're swinging far to the right or far to the left. I believe that we're right in that mainstream. Amen. And I believe the river, I believe you're right in that mainstream of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when God begins to restore truth, amen, He begins to bring us into a new place where we can begin to see into areas of His Spirit without getting flaky. Look at somebody say, without getting flaky. In other words, I don't have to go to the extreme. When God says He's going to show me things in His Spirit, that doesn't mean I'm the only one and I'm going to write a book and print a business card. and see if I can get a television or get on YouTube somewhere or maybe Facebook. Look at somebody and say, bag it. All right. Amen. But God's bringing us to a place of maturity. Say maturity. Amen. As we come to maturity as sons and daughters of the Most High God, amen, He says, I'm bringing you to that place where I want you to see more into the areas of my spirit. He says, I want you to see my plans on the earth. See, some people think that all these things are set aside for apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And there is a revelation, but more than that, there is an authority, there's a structure, there's a covering, there's a safety, there's a protection, and there's a leadership that comes with the fivefold ministry of it. But you are the bride of Christ. Come on now. And God will reveal things to you, God will show things to you, and God will take you into the deep things of His Holy Spirit. Come on, say He'll do it with me. Now, see, you need to understand, as the church, we're not just numbers sitting on a bench. You are blood cells in the body of Christ and members individually in His body. So God says, I want you to see into new areas of my spirit, my plans on the earth, and the future for my church. His kingdom rule in the earth, and the power and the demonstration of the army of the Lord, and ruling and reigning with Him on the earth now. Say now.
Now.
Some people are waiting until that some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. See, what they didn't realize is they had to die first. Because then they sang, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. But nobody wanted to fly because nobody wanted to die. Come on. Come on. Powerful song for the time. Amen. Well, we believe that the kingdom of God is here. He's in you. When the disciples approached Jesus about His kingdom, and they said, is your kingdom here? Is it there? Is it in this place? And He said, it is none of those places. Behold, my kingdom is in you. Say, His kingdom's in me. And so He wants His kingdom to be demonstrated, and He wants His rule in the earth to be demonstrated now. Say now.
Now.
Amen. I have you repeat after me, because when you repeat, you're finally, your heart begins to believe what your mouth is saying. Come on now. And this is a time of the kingdom. It's a time of rule now. And God's brought us to a new level as the river and as the church. And God is connecting heaven and earth, and His church is the conduit, amen, that He will cause all of heaven to flow through. So in other words, all that is in heaven that God is going to do on earth, He's going to do through you. Say through me. See, some people think it's just going to fall out of heaven, or it's just going to bubble up out of the earth, or a wind is going to blow, or a fire is going to come, or something's going to happen, and it's going to bring the glory. Let me tell you, the glory is going to come through you. Come on, God has already done all that He's going to do by Himself. All that He does from now throughout eternity is going to be in, through, and with His church, His bride. Come on now. God loves you so much. He gave His life's blood for you. Amen. He bought you with a price. Come on now. So that He could rule in you and reign in you and work with you, fulfill you, and put His dream into your heart. Amen. So God is connecting heaven to earth. Amen. And you are the conduit of all that's in heaven. And that's, you are the conduit or the track that God has laid for all of heaven to come to earth as it is in heaven. I believe I've shared this thought with you before, but I was in a church in Virginia. It was so impacting to me. That's why I remember it. Amen. But I was standing in a service, and God said, put your fist in the heaven. And I put my fist in the heaven. Sometimes prophetically, God will ask you to do things, and sometimes you feel out of place and ridiculous. Amen. And I felt just a little bit ridiculous. I had my fist stuck in the heaven. And the reason I felt ridiculous is because everybody else was sitting down. And I was still standing there with my fist in the heaven. And I asked God, God, what does this mean? Why am I standing here? And He said, when you put your fist in the heaven, you just broke through the second heaven and you reached into the third heaven. Now, what is He doing? He was speaking to me prophetically. I know that principalities and domains and rule try to rule in the second heaven. If you was to ask me, where does the second heaven begin? I would say, if you could get about 6 inches off of the floor, I believe it starts from there to the third heaven. I believe the first heaven is earth. I believe the second heaven is all the atmosphere that you see. And then there is a third heaven, amen, where God's rule rules. And that's where Lucifer was cast out of. But the second heaven is where principalities and powers and domains. Have you ever just been walking down the street and all of a sudden you felt a spirit of depression? Have you ever just sat down in a chair at home and all of a sudden you felt like, God, I'm just so unworthy? Or the enemy just tries to make you feel like you're a loser. Come on. Or he tries to bring oppression or suppression to you. That's that second heaven where principalities and powers and domain. He said when you put your fish in heaven, you just broke through that and you just reached into the third heaven. And then he said, now I want you to grab hold of heaven and I want you to begin to pull heaven to earth. And I had to ask God a question. I said, God, is this legal? Am I getting flaky? Am I trying to do something that I can't do? Come on. And the Lord spoke to me, Matthew chapter 6. He says, I will not ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not going to have you pray that if I'm not willing to do that. So he said, I want you to get more aggressive. I want you to put your fist in the heaven, grab hold of heaven, and just begin to pull heaven to earth. Come on. I know it's a prophetic act and it's a prophetic word, but God said, I want you to have faith and believe. Come on, that with me, all things are possible. The supernatural is possible. The breakthrough is possible. His divine order is possible. Come on now. Your fulfillment on earth is possible. Come on now. Outside of all the impossibility, the supernatural begins to override every natural law and God begins to give you a supernatural breakthrough. Come on, it's a supernatural season. We've already declared it. We decree it over the river, over Elkhart, over Goshen, over all the contiguous city, over the state that you live in. Come on, that this is the year of the supernatural breakthrough. Young people, supernatural breakthrough in your school, supernatural breakthrough in your education, supernatural breakthrough in your gifting, your anointing, your ability, supernatural breakthrough in your deliverance, your healing, supernatural breakthrough in your maturity, supernatural breakthrough in all the provision of heaven. Woo, come on, say it's our year. Man, it's our year, the supernatural. It's a year of breakthrough. So God said, reach into heaven and just begin to pull heaven to earth. If I was to ask you a question, what is it you are needing? What are you needing God to do in your life? Begin to see it in your spirit and reach into heaven and grab hold of your miracle and say, miracle, principalities and powers, nothing is going to stop. Nothing is going to prevent it. I'm going to decree the word of the Lord. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. I'm going to grab hold of my miracle and I'm going to pull my miracle to earth. God, just reach up this morning. Pull it down. Come on. It may feel silly to you. Pull your miracle down over Kenya. Pull it down over all the churches. Come on, break every stronghold. Blow the mind of the devil. Show him your authority. Show him your ability. Show him that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Woo. Wow. In every season, in the events of the scriptures, all the way from Adam to Abraham to Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Saul, all the way through the apostles of the Lamb to Jesus and the army of the Lord. Everything that God has been doing from the beginning to the present, come on now, has been positioning us for heaven to be on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. You've been part of the plan from the beginning. Amen. God has been working in you. God has been working for you. Amen. Preparing this church, preparing your city, preparing you for such a time as this. God, I just heard somebody with a thought, but if you only knew how hard my life was. Amen. There was no harder life, I don't believe, than what Jesus, the Son of God, suffered on Calvary. You know why he suffered that? Because he said, you're going to suffer nothing but what I'm not willing to suffer myself. And I'm telling you that I'm going to break it through. And because I break through, you're going to break through. Look at somebody say, I'm going to break through. Come on, Jesus has already paved the way. He's already made the way. Amen. And there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper, overpower, or overtake you. So today, God is preparing His army for the future war of the church. Yes, I believe we're coming into a time of warfare, and until Jesus returns, come on now, and Lucifer is bound, we will be in a place of warfare. The Bible says, be alert and on guard, always on call, because the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking what he can devour. Come on now, if we don't stand positioned in a place of warfare, the enemy will try to find an open door, amen, to try to come back in. Amen. Don't let down your guard this year. Come on now. Amen. Stay on guard. Amen. Sound ye alarm from His holy mountain. Let Zion begin to cry out unto God. Come on now and watch God break through for His church. Our old wineskins need to be updated and prepared for the new wine for this season. Let me just make a statement here. Whatever you have to get rid of, whatever you have to unload, whatever you have to let go of, amen, whether it's possessions, whether it's pain, whether it's shame, whether it's habits, addictions, whether it's anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it may be, let it go. Get rid of it this year. Don't let it be another stronghold. Come on now, to be keeping you in the place that you're in. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to a new level. See, I'm here declaring to you what the word of the Lord said. He said, those that I make free are free indeed. And you are free, and you don't have to be bound to the lie of the devil. Come on now. You can reject it and you can put it under your feet, says the Lord. Look at somebody and say, fresh anointing is coming your way. God, fresh anointing is coming your way. I just stand here this morning and I decree over your household, over your marriage, over your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, amen, over your future, over your dream, over all that pertains to you. Come on, I decree, amen, that this is a new season of breakthrough over you and your households. Every curse that the enemy tried to bring against you, God has already paid a price. It is already cast down. Come on now. The Bible says where two or three agree, touching anything in His name, that God will give us, amen, according to the desires of our heart. If our desires are in alignment with His word and His purpose, it is His word and His purpose to heal your body, to heal your marriage, to heal your business, to set you free, to give you victory, to give you life, amen, to give you hope, amen, to give you overcoming power, and to give you prosperity. It's the will of God that you be blessed in the earth. Come on now. God is not trying to teach you a lesson about how bad you've been. Good fathers don't do that. Good fathers love you where you're at. Come on now. The Father feels the pain of where we're at times in our life. But God says fresh anointing is coming your way. With God, the invisible is made visible and the impossible is made possible. You may not be able to see your miracle in the natural, but the supernatural does not work by what you can see. The supernatural works by what you know. I know God. I know His word. I know His promises. I know His miracle. I know that He overcame death, hell, and the grave. I know, amen, that He is a warrior. I know, amen, that He gives us victory over all of our enemies. I know that He is the head, come on now, and that we are the body. I know that He is the King of kings and the Lord of. I know that there is no other God, no other power higher or mightier than God. Come on now. When you know what you know, you reckon it to be so in your spirit, Romans chapter 8, and you begin to yield into it and say, God, wherever you're taking me, Lord, Father, I want to go with you. I want to waltz with you. I mean, you want to waltz with the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't even know how to waltz. Glory to God, but I'd learn. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23 is an interesting account in the scripture. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, say, if I can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, in this particular scripture, he is speaking about a father that has a son, a deaf, dumb son. And this father speaks to Jesus. I'm paraphrasing for you. This father speaks to Jesus and he says, "You know what? I brought my son to your apostles and I had them pray. And in all of their prayer, he's still the same. And I brought him to you because I know that if you will, and if you want to, you can heal my son." Amen. And so Jesus begins to talk to the Father. Let me just give you a little picture here. Here Jesus is speaking with the Father, and here is the Son over here throwing himself on the ground, wallowing in the dirt. My first thought was, "Jesus, why don't you just put this on hold and go over here and talk and deliver this boy?" But Jesus chose to speak with the Father. And so he has a discourse with the Father. And he asks the Father, do you believe that he can be healed? See, it wasn't about the problem. It was more about covenant. It was more about relationship. It was more about faith. It was more about understanding. Because see, if we have that covenant and we have that faith and we have that understanding, the supernatural is automatic. Jesus knew that if the Father will just commit his heart to you. Now, I don't know what Jesus would have done if this man would have said, "No, I don't believe, and no, I've been tired of it, I'm burned up with it," and he walks off in an angry attitude. I believe Jesus would have healed the son anyway. But here the Lord speaks to the Father, and he said, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And Jesus said, "If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes." See, sometimes it helps to see the whole picture, because here is a lad, come on now, that needed to be delivered. But the most important thing was, do you believe? We need miracles. We need breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. I don't know about you. We need financial breakthroughs. We need miraculous breakthroughs. We need healings and miracles in our own families, our own homes, and our own churches. Come on now. But what is important is, do you believe? He said, if you believe, then all things are possible to those who believe. I'm telling you, some of you are going to get your miracle. Why? Because you believe, and it's your time. It's your season. Come on now. Some of you are at the threshold. Amen. Some of you is just a little bit farther off, but your miracle has already been released in the heavens. Come on now. But you must stand, amen, and begin to see the invisible God as visible. Come on now. And we must surrender all to him. So the Father cries out and says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." God, I believe. Come on. And Jesus is so excited. He steps over to the Son and he said, "That spirit, come out of him now in Jesus' name." You're not standing alone. Your daddy's standing with you. Others are standing with you. Others are believing with you. Come on now. And he cast that spirit out of the lad. Come on. Look at somebody and say, "My miracle is released." Come on, believe it. Do you believe? Because if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, "With men this thing is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Listen to me. We are not dwelling. We are not believing in men. You're not believing in Apostle Leon. You're not believing in Dr. Janet Leonard Cook. You're not believing in somebody, some name brand person somewhere. We're believing in God. Come on, I believe in God. I believe his word. Are you believers this morning? Young people, are you believers this morning? Why? Because God wants to work miracles in your life. Hebrews 11:27. Turn over to this particular scripture with me, would you please? Because I want to release something into this house. Amen. Hebrews. It's in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Book of Hebrews. We'll find it here in just a second. Timothy. Hallelujah. My Bible's all stuck together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Let me read a few verses for you. By faith. Everybody say by faith.
By faith.
By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. There's several things that I want you to see here, but one thing I want you to see is that Moses was born in a time of impossibility. Moses' life was an absolute miracle because people believed God. Moses was born at a time when the government had passed an abortion law on the land that ordered the death sentence for all babies and male babies in the womb and all males that was 3 years and younger. Come on now. And there was not a hope or a promise left in the land, amen, for the children of Israel and their babies. And he ordered the death sentence of all these babies. But Moses' mother and daddy hide their baby away. And they do something here that is, I want to challenge you with it. They begin to release a generational blessing upon Moses. We teach a lot on generational curses and sins of the father, and rightfully so, we should do that. But I believe that equally, we need to be preaching on the generational blessing, generational impartation. Come on now. And I want to decree to you that it is not too late, mothers and fathers, amen, to lay hands upon your children and begin to release a generational blessing and a generational anointing upon your children. When God looks at you, He does not look at your problem. Come on now. When God looks at you, He looks at you just the way, amen, that Moses' mom and daddy was looking at him. And they said, he is a beautiful child and he is too beautiful to be in any fear of the law of the king. Look at somebody and say, you're beautiful. Come on, tell them again, you're beautiful. Come on, there's many things in life where they will try to convince you that you're not beautiful, but you are beautiful. And the Bible says they did not fear the law of the king or the laws of the land. You cannot be in fear in this season about what is happening politically or governmentally. Come on, we must keep our eyes on Him who is invisible. Amen. Why? Because the invisible God is going to break through for America. The invisible God is going to break through globally. The invisible God is going to break through for His kingdom. The invisible God is going to break through for you. So he said, our son is too beautiful to be bound by such a curse. There are some times when you refuse certain laws. There are times when we cannot just align with the law of the land if the law of the land is contrary to the word of God. God's word is the higher power. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became a full age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me challenge you this afternoon. There are times in your life when you have to refuse to be the son and daughter of your past. Come on, as we're speaking about the river and stepping into a new year and stepping into divine order, the Bible says that Moses, when he became a full age, full mature age, he is being offered all the kingdom of Egypt. He has been offered to be the next Pharaoh of the land. The Bible says that he stepped forward and the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, sometimes, church, sometimes you have to step away from something that is trying to put a stronghold upon you, trying to put an addiction upon you, trying to put a name tag on you, or is trying to put guilt and shame on you. Sometimes you need to take a step forward and refuse to be the son of your past. Look at somebody say, the past is over. Come on, the Bible says that he stepped forward. Young people, sometimes you have to make a decision to step forward. Let me tell you a little story. I got married at a very young age, my wife and I did. I was very young. I was 17, she was 18. I don't recommend that to anybody. However, we've been married 54 years. I'm not saying that's the key. We've gone through a lot of trials, a lot of things in 54 years. But when we first got married, we moved to our little abode from Washington State, where we got married, and to Denver, Colorado. And our first home was a little 8x38 trailer, hallelujah. But we thought it was a little mansion. I mean, we were too much in love to see what we was living in anyway, so it just didn't really matter. My wife is cooking dinner for her first time in our little trailer. I'll never forget this. And she's cooking a special dinner, her own recipe, and she called it porcupine meatballs. Oh, I'm from Colorado. I don't know about porcupine meatballs. What is that? She, you want to surprise me? I want to know what I'm eating. There was a knock on my door, and it was a young man that I had gone to school with. Good friend of mine. He knocks on our door and he says, "Hey, Leon." I said, "Hey, Charles, good to see you." And he says, "Hey, would you like to go get a Coke and some French fries?" Well, you know, back in the early 60s, that's what you got because you couldn't afford anything else. Okay, so you got Cokes and French fries and you get all the trimmings with them and you make a meal out of French fries. Praise God. And so he says, "How would you like to go get a Coke and some French fries?" And I thought, porcupine meatballs, Coke and French fries. I thought for a minute, this is a no-brainer. Yeah. And I looked at my wife and I had a look. There was a look on her face. And the look was like, "What are you going to do?" I looked at Charles, I looked at her, and I said, "Oh my God, okay. Mom and Daddy didn't teach me everything about this, but I seen enough and learned enough." I said, "Give me just a minute." So I went outside with Charles. And I told Charles, I said, "Charles, we're good friends. I love having Coke and French fries. But from now on, if you want to have a Coke and French fry, you'll have to call. We'll have to get an appointment. We'll have to set a date. We'll have to spend a special time. I'm married now. And I can't just go at the drop of the hat and get Coke and French fries. Come on now." Now, it's a simple illustration. But I've repeated that hundreds of times in my life. Sometimes there are things you just have to say no to that you said yes to. Why? Because God says, "I'm bringing you into a deeper relationship with me. I'm bringing you to a greater level of maturity. I'm bringing you out of your past. Come on. I'm bringing you into your supernatural calling. I'm bringing you into the identity that I called you to walk in and to live in. And I'm bringing you out of that past." See, Moses said, "I refuse to be called the son of my past. I had to refuse to be called just Leon." Some of you need to step forward in some things in your life and say, "I refuse that identity. I refuse that shame. Come on. I refuse that tag that somebody placed upon me. I refuse to be called the son of my past, and I choose rather to suffer," amen, in verse 25, "choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward." Say, "He looked to the reward." Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." You know what? I don't doubt for a minute that God has been with me ever since I gave my life to Christ, that I can remember as just a little boy. Even though I went through the pits of hell and I went through a lot of experiences in my life, I know that God never gave up on me. He never forsook me. Even though I went through the valley of the shadow of sin and falsehood and false relationship and all of those things, yet God was with me and he never gave up on me. Look at somebody and say, "God's not giving up on you." Come on, God is speaking to us today and he says, "I'm bringing you to a new place." Come on now. And the supernatural is going to be more evident in your life. When you begin to align with your identity, you begin to align with your Father. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that He created you to be just like Him. Come on. I know His thoughts and His ways are much higher than ours. And I was preaching in a church in South Florida, and I was preaching that very scripture in Isaiah. His thoughts, His ways are much higher than our ways. Come on now. And while I was preaching, the Lord stopped me, and He began to talk to me, and He began to preach to me. He said, Leon, I didn't give that scripture, I didn't give that word for people to feel that my thoughts and my ways are unattainable. When He says, I am the good Father, I speak that to you because I want you to come up out of your way of thinking, and I want you to come up to my level of thinking. Look at somebody and say, come up higher. Come on, come up higher. If people get negative around you, help pull them up higher. Come on now. Don't get on the bandwagon of gossip and negativity and all of the things that can happen. Come on now. Rather choose. Come on now. Choose to serve Him who is invisible. Choose to refuse to be the son of your past. I'm preaching to us this morning, but right now I just see the river, come on now, going to a whole new place. Come on. It's like the church is stepping forward and the church is coming out of where we was birthed from. Come on. Yes, we have a lot of history. And yes, it took a lot of things to birth us and to get us to where we're at. But guess what? We're not bound to the pain that God is here. We're bound to the kingdom of God that is set before. Paul said, forgetting, amen, where I came from and how hard it was to get where I got, forgetting those things, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because some of you are needing to press through. God has a call and a purpose and a destiny upon this corporate body. He has a call and a purpose upon you individually. And He said, I'm calling you out to bring you in. Come on now. But you're going to have to refuse to be the son and daughter of your past. Just lay your hand on your heart real quick, wouldn't you? Father, there's a deliverance. There's a healing right now. Lord, some people didn't know that they could be released from some things that they have said, from things that have been said to them, things that have been tagged to them. Lord, I pray for a revelation of this scripture, Lord, to work in their heart. Lord, that they can say no. They can refuse the past. They can set their eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And God, You will begin to traffic all of heaven through them. Lord, You have not rejected them, but You have accepted them and You have kept them for such a time as this. Father, I charge into their heart and their spirit now by the power of Your blood and the power of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a hand clap, can we? Man, God is good. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, I am God. The I am that I am God. And there is no other. I am God and there is none like Me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all of My pleasure. Say, He is God. Say, He'll do His pleasure in me. He's going to do His full pleasure. He's going to fulfill His full will, His full plan, and His full purpose in you. Amen.